want to talk to you tonight about the resolution of effort and counter-effort. The only reason an engram will not run, and the only reason a moment of pain, the only reason a moment of unconsciousness will not reduce properly or erase properly, is in the matter of effort and counter-effort. Effort and counter-effort form a heavy enough block on some engrams. They become very difficult to work out. Of course, you understand there's another item, and that is one's own intention or one's own self-determinism with regard to it. It matters much more what the individual says than what is said to him. So one's own self-determinism can be a large factor in auditing out an engram. But the effort and counter-effort are actually what hold it down, because they sort of wrap up the self-determinism. They sort of lie around it. Self-determinism can get swallowed up by effort and counter-effort. Such a situation as this. An individual comes out of a door, and somebody else comes in the door, and they collide. Well, now each one has the intention and postulate of progressing forward in the direction he's going, and they collide, and they stop for a moment. And to A, who is coming out of the door, B is a sudden counter-effort. And to B, going in the door, A is a sudden counter-effort. The two of them meet, maybe bump their heads together, both of them would go unconscious. You see, unconsciousness is actually a manifestation of one's self-determinism being upset by a counter-effort. That is what unconsciousness is. The equation one works on, actually, is if I can't make my self-determinism count, then I must be dead. And he goes down curve rapidly toward death. Unconsciousness is just a light or deep, is merely a slide in toward death. Now, effort and counter-effort, then, contain a very large part of the answer of auditing out an engram. Your pre-clear can get so bogged down in some postulate, in some statement he makes himself, underneath this effort and counter-effort that he's made when he received it, or made just before he received it, that he will concentrate in such a way on this effort and counter-effort that he does not pick it up. Now, that may seem to you rather odd, that you could concentrate on a counter-effort and be then unable to contact it. The trick is to concentrate on another point than the point of impact, and only then will a counter-effort come in. The reason for this is very simply expressed. One's own effort is always, to some slight degree, directed toward the receipt and expulsion of counter-efforts. Now, the receipt and expulsion of counter-efforts requires that one fix his attention upon the counter-effort. And one's attention, therefore, is fixed on the effort in order to expel it. What is actually happening is you are no more, no less than a complete bundle of counter-efforts. Thought picked up its first counter-effort way back at the beginning of time, turned it around, and used it to overcome the physical universe. And this sequence, picking up a counter-effort and then using it, picking up a counter-effort and then using it, picking up a counter-effort and using it, should demonstrate to you that every effort which you exert has at one time or another been a counter-effort. A physical force effort, then, has at one time or another always in every case, has been a counter effort. The only reason a counter effort in a facsimile becomes troublesome is because an individual self-determinism depends to a large degree upon his right to use any counter effort he receives and turn it around and send it the other way. Now, he thinks of himself as having this as an inherent right. Therefore, when he receives a counter effort and is then inhibited in using it, the counter effort will eventually come back against him, because he will go back to the point where he realizes the counter effort is dangerous, he'll start examining it, and he'll throw himself back into the first facsimile of its receipt. It's highly mechanical, very, very mechanical. Now, a counter effort, then, let us say, of being hit hard by a truck, use a very standardized thing, hitting by trucks, quite ordinary these days, drivers being what they are, particularly in Kansas. So your counter effort comes in, bam. Now, actually, in order to use this, the individual would have to hit somebody with a truck. Well, he knows he'd better not hit somebody with a truck, because this would be in violation of the dynamics, as well as city ordinances. At least most cities have ordinances against this sort of thing. I'm not sure about this particular city. The point is that one has received a counter effort which he cannot employ. And so it's worrisome. Well, there are two things to do about it. One is not to get hit by a truck. And the other one is, if hit, be in a high enough tone so that that facsimile, being in the counter effort band, won't ever be contacted by you anymore, or audit it out. Now, these are several courses that you can take. All right. Here is the matter of receiving a counter effort and not being able to use it. An individual is killed, let us say. Hope that doesn't sound particularly amusing to you. He's killed and later on can't use the counter effort. But that's exactly what happens. The individual is killed, let's say he's strangled. And later on, somebody does something to him, and his response is to take his lily white hands and strangle the other person. Now, he may do this several times. He may do it very successfully several times. And one day, after he gets through strangling somebody, maybe back in the Stone Age or something of the sort, he takes another look, and it's a girl. And that was the wrong use of this counter effort. Or it was a baby. Wrong use of the counter effort. He's trying to use this counter effort, and here he's used it wrongly. What happens to him? Instantaneously and immediately, he gets the somatic of being strangled. Because he tries to regret this matter, he tries to figure it out. He says to himself, my goodness, how could I possibly have strangled this woman? How could I possibly have strangled this baby? Whatever he did. Well, how could I have done this? Well, when he says to himself, how could I have done this, he starts picking up the facsimiles which gave him the counter effort which permitted him to do it. And, of course, he hangs up with the first time it was done to him. And we call this first incident, when it was done to him, the motivator. The motivator is then employed and may be employed relatively successfully. He can go around choking animals, choking horses, choking anything. It doesn't matter. Choking men, they're all on a parity with him. It just doesn't matter. He doesn't regret these fellows. And then one fine day, he chokes the wrong person, which is to say, he chokes somebody that is not a legitimate target, which is to say, for he has no justification for the act. Insufficient justification creates then what we call the overt act. An overt act is the misemployment of a counter effort. The misemployment of a counter effort. And the counter effort thus employed against a target that is not a legitimate target backfires on the individual. He'll go back down the time track and get into the motivator. He gets into the motivator immediately. He gets the somatics, plainly and simply, that were administered to him. He gets those somatics himself. Thus, you find on the track a person begins to accumulate overt acts, many of them. He maybe has one big motivator, one incident that he can't do anything about. He has received a counter effort, and every time he tries to use this counter effort, which is his perfect right, he thinks, he finds out that it isn't such a large offense against the other dynamics that he pulls back and resigns his right, and he cannot then be self-determined. So his self-determinism sinks because he can't use this counter effort. As a result, the accumulated overt acts can get up to a point where the individual will suffer no matter what he does to anybody. He begins to believe that he cannot use a single counter effort. This is a condition we know as apathy. All counter efforts go through and one puts up no effort to resist them. That is apathy. That is also refusing to use one's right to utilize counter efforts. That's the bottom of self-determinism then. One can't use a counter effort, therefore one has no self-determinism. Therefore, one is in apathy because all efforts go through him. All counter efforts go through him. The tone scale, the whole tone scale, it can be derived on these emotions to this degree. How much overt action has the individual suffered from? That is to say, how many times has he failed when he had tried to employ a counter effort? The degree to which he is unable to employ counter efforts is the degree or the band he lies in on the tone scale. It would be very simple, very easy to understand. If a man can't use any counter efforts at all, he cannot resent anything that's said to him, he cannot strike back at anybody that does anything to him, he is incapable then of defending himself or the other dynamics, and as a result, more or less, ceases to exist. That's apathy. The bottom of apathy is death. One then won't even resist the counter effort of sunlight or anything of the sort. Now, way up the band, one is so extensional against counter efforts that they really don't even arrive. They don't arrive. He not only is capable of employing all counter efforts, he doesn't need to. He's way up above. Now, when a person, let us say, is well up the band, let us say that he begins to use, for some reason or other, counter efforts. He uses some old counter effort against one of the dynamics. He comes down the band a little bit. He uses another counter effort against one of the dynamics. You see, it's non-survival to go out against the dynamics. It's not good sense. So he uses these counter efforts, and he uses them, and he uses them, and he uses these motivators one after the other, and gradually uses them wrong this time and wrong that time, and comes eventually down to the bottom of the tone scale. In order to audit him back up again, one could actually merely pick up his overt acts. You can locate them on a psychometer. His overt acts. What has he killed and when? When has he misemployed counter efforts? Against what? Against himself, against children, against women, against groups, against man, against animals, against the messed universe, and so forth. Right straight on up the line. Particularly interesting is the counter effort against seven, theta. The seventh dynamic, the overt act against seven, is very interesting because it results in an individual believing he has offended to such a degree that he has to get into the valence of something which is offended. Now, that unsnarls very easily. Christ bore the burdens of all man in the world, didn't he? So if a person keeps on offending against the seventh dynamic, he will eventually offend so wrongly and so widely and broadly that his only solution to it is to wind up as Christ. Now, as we go up the scale, then a person commits actually less and less counter-efforts, but is capable of committing more and more. The bottom of the scale in apathy is when a person has committed so many counter-efforts, so many overt acts, he's done so much without good justification that he must now do nothing but justify whatever he's doing. Well, what does he do to justify? He starts wearing the somatics, starts wearing the pains and infirmities of his motivator. It has turned on him at last. And you'll have this